please listen carefully.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, clearly, because you're listening, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, hello Monday, and home office-worthy. We're in it for quarantine. It's week 347 podcast. Today is Monday, April 20th, 2020.
And here are today's top solutions.
All right, before we get going here, Christy, how are you doing?
Oh, it's Monday again. And I can't believe it's quickly Monday, how quickly these weeks fly by. And I have no idea what week it is. It does feel like week 375 or whatever of this quarantine. But I'm doing all right. I'm feeling okay. Yeah.
Good. Well, we're doing okay here at the household of many.
At Optimist Daily South, right?
Yeah, exactly. Optimist Daily South. The McKay household is a busy one. Our teenagers have finished their spring break and have returned to school. In an interesting move, their school has shifted from online classes or Zoom calls based on the teacher's discretion to actually more mandatory Zoom calls. So these kids are going to be in Zoom calls from about 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day. And it's really fascinating to see how schools are trying to work this out and trying to figure out how to best educate their students in this time. My heart breaks for these kids who are suddenly going to have to sit at their desks all day. That's obviously very different than being in school. And so even though it's just another Monday for us, I think it's a particularly heavy Monday for them. I'm just wishing all those kids out there good luck, guys. Yeah. You know, this is a different time for everybody and we'll get through this.
I wonder how that'll go. I mean, my son, who's he's been doing the distance learning thing through his high school for a few weeks now. And he's riding it fine, but I don't know how it would work if you had to sit in a Zoom room from 8 to 3. I don't think that's going to be a good idea, but let me know, Summers, how that goes.
I will. I'm keeping the coffee brewing. I'm going to end up with some little caffeine addicts by the time this is all done. But all right. Well, speaking of health and caffeine addicts, our first solution today is from the health section of the Optimist Daily. COVID-19 might just be a blessing in disguise for the pangolin. The pangolin is one of the most fascinating creatures in the world, being the only mammal to also be covered in hard protective scales. Unfortunately, it is these scales that make them a target for poachers who sell them to be used in Chinese traditional medicine. Their meat is also considered a delicacy in some parts of the world, which is just another reason why pangolins are the world's most trafficked wild animal. It isn't easy being a pangolin, but it seems this creature may have found an unlikely savior. The COVID-19 virus. As researchers try to find the origins of the virus within animals, the pangolin has been singled out as a potential suspect. And although evidence is definitely inconclusive, it has already prompted the Chinese government to take action. In February, China announced an immediate ban on trading and eating wild animals, including pangolins. Officials also began shutting down wild animal markets across the country. If more actions against the wildlife trade follow, the incident could prove to be a turning point for pangolin conservation. The question of whether pangolins contributed to the COVID-19 outbreak will not be settled anytime soon, as resolving the origin of SARS took years. But it may be crucial to ending the pangolin trade because doing so requires two things. The first is strict enforcement of the rules, which China seems to want to do. It was stepping up enforcement even before the outbreak. The second is for people to stop buying pangolin products. If there is no demand, the illegal trade will become unprofitable and suppliers will abandon it. And even if it turns out that the pangolin had no role in the coronavirus outbreak, the bad publicity will certainly not boost demand for them.
enforcement is the key. A lot of these rules and regulations have actually been on the law books in China for many years. So it's really comes down to making sure that the illegal trade in wild mammals for food and medicines is not profitable. Hopefully, we can hope for the pangolin's sake and all other wild animals that, and for our own sake, that we can curb this kind of illegal trade.
It's time for a transition for sure.
Well, in other transitions, Earth Day is going digital. Here's how to join in on the action. This is from our environment section on the Optimist Daily. April 22nd marks the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, a yearly event where we celebrate and protect the planet through tree plantings, cleanups, and other in-person community gatherings. The 50th anniversary was bound to be an enormous celebration of all the progress we've made on the climate front, but that is not going to be possible with the COVID-19 outbreak keeping us all indoors and socially distanced. The good news is that Earth Day is going digital, so those of us who are stuck inside can still engage with the holiday in a meaningful way. There are lots of fantastic initiatives in the pipeline, such as the streaming of a new eco documentary at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time called The Story of Plastic, which you can see on the Discovery Channel. There are also a number of digital campaigns going on. One campaign, the Earth Challenge 2020, asks users to take photos of their horizon lines to compile information about the air quality around the world. Another campaign, users are instructed on how to collect data about their local air and water quality and insect populations. And Literati is all about using citizen recordings to help construct a map of litter around the world. Want more ways to celebrate Earth Day from your home? Take a look at theoptimistdaily.com and find some great links to some great resources on how to become a digital Earth Day celebrant.
I'm excited that we're going to be celebrating Earth Day all week here at The Optimist Daily and across all of social media channels. I think it'll be a really good way for us to turn our attention to continuing to protect this beautiful Earth. In the environment section, continuing, it seems I'm on a bit of an animal trend today, Christy. Mountain gorilla numbers are on the rise in East Africa. Good news from the World Wildlife Foundation. A new survey that took place in the Virunga Mountains of East Africa found that mountain gorilla numbers are growing. The critically endangered animals were once expected to be extinct by the end of the 20th century, but there is hope the population will continue to grow due to conservation efforts. Findings show populations in the Virunga Massif have grown to 604 individuals, up from 480 individuals in 2010. This puts the total global wild gorilla population over 1,000 individuals. While that may not be a huge increase, it's an improvement, something we sadly are not seeing with other species of great apes. The Virunga Massif spans 111,445 acres in the DRC, Rwanda, and Uganda, and is one of the only two isolated areas mountain gorillas live. Field teams surveyed the region to determine the population and demographics of mountain gorillas. For the first time, field teams used electronic devices to collect data and information about the mountain dwellers and threats they may face. With the new findings, the World Wildlife Foundation can reshape their conservation strategy for the better in order to secure a future for the mountain gorillas.
Well, this is a great story, and it's just wonderful to see this wild population starting to come back. And all we can do is hope that we can keep that and keep our conservation efforts really clued in as we take a pause in the rest of our lives and figure out what's really important. And I think biodiversity is one of those things.
You know, Christy, I will tell you a little summer's history here. The very first research essay I ever wrote in fourth grade was about the mountain gorillas and about conservation efforts of the mountain gorillas. So for those of you who know me, you know fourth grade was quite some time ago. I've been passionate about mountain gorillas for a long time, and this makes me very, very happy.
All right, well, another hopeful story from our arts section. Matterhorn Mountain lights up with symbols of hope during COVID-19. Residents of the mountain town in Zermatt, Switzerland, are experiencing a new view of their iconic Matterhorn Mountain. Light artist Jerry Hofstetter is projecting symbols of hope and solidarity on the 14,692-foot peak during the COVID-19 pandemic. Hofstetter has illuminated the mountain with a different image each night since March 24th. Last Wednesday, it projected the American flag as a sign of support for the U.S. Other images have included the flags of Japan, Germany, the United Kingdom, France, and Italy, as well as messages such as hashtag hope and hashtag all of us. The tourism organization Zermatt Matterhorn wrote a message message on its Facebook page to accompany the projected flag. Our thoughts are with all American people at this unprecedented time. We look forward to meeting again at the foot of the Matterhorn. We are all in this together. Zermatt is one of many popular tourist destinations facing economic uncertainty as COVID-19 halts travel. Hofstetter illuminated a message of optimism for the town and potential visitors, writing, "Dream now, travel later," across the mountain. The COVID-19 pandemic is an international crisis, but it is also an opportunity for international solidarity. And symbols of unity like these Matterhorn projections offer hope and a much-needed morale boost during these uncertain times. Summers, I just like it when we can really think about ourselves as one world, and these kinds of stories make us all feel connected. So that's why this is a good one for me.
I love that this story is true. Earlier this weekend, another news organization covered this, and I saw someone post it on social and say, if this is true, this is amazing. And what really struck me about that was the need for legitimacy and the curiosity as whether or not something could be deemed authentic, if something this beautiful and generous could really be true. And I love the fact that it is true, it is legitimate, and just as you say, we are all one world. And now I feel like I should sing under just one.
We are the world.
Oh no, it's the Optimist Daily Sing-Along with Christy and Summers. Our final story today comes from the business section of the Optimist Daily. Coal mine finds new life as farm-to-bottle distillery. When the Landry Coal Mine in Jasonville, Indiana, went under, its owners planned to leave it sitting abandoned. Two Indiana University graduates had more ambitious plans for the site and have purchased it to turn it into a farm-to-bottle distillery. The company, Land Betterment Corp., bought the distillery from a defunct New York hedge fund last August and is repurposing the building and the surrounding land into an innovative new distillery. The farm-to-bottle concept includes using the 22 acres of farmland surrounding the mine to produce brewing ingredients such as rye for use in distillery craft vodka and bourbon. The company has also removed harmful coal refuse from the site and is undergoing extensive environmental assessment to ensure the new facilities are sustainable. The renovated mine will be named Coal Craft Spirits as a nod to its former purpose and will employ dozens of local workers, including former coal miners who lost their jobs when the site shut down. Land Betterment Executive Chairman Mark Jensen says he has already spoken with former employees who are excited about the site's new function and renewed job possibilities. Loss of jobs is a primary concern for those who oppose replacing coal with green energy sources, but the potential job creation in green industries and innovative projects such as this demonstrate that the economy can successfully revolutionize to support environmentally friendly energy sources. Coal Craft Spirits is also ensuring that the abandoned land is repurposed to benefit the economy and the local community. Well, I think right now everybody's a big fan of craft breweries.
Craft breweries, which also become hand sanitizer factories in times of crisis.
Exactly.
And even Shell has pledged to go net carbon zero. Things are changing in the fossil fuel industry and in the carbon economy. So we'll see what happens.
That's some great news, Christy.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm looking at the time, and you and I have an all-staff meeting for the editorial team at the Optimist Daily in just a few minutes, so we've got to wrap this up.
So let's wrap it up, and thank you all for listening to the Optimist Daily update. We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it's changed for the good. We promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com and for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Well, thank you, Summers, and thank you everyone for listening today.
Have a great Monday, guys, and have a great week.